Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same that brings light and clarity. Thank you because no soul under the sound of this voice will remain the same. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so studies in Galatians. Studies in Galatians. I welcome you to church once again. There's no place like church. Hallelujah. There's no place like church. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. So we're going to conclude this teaching today. What I intend to do is for us to run through Galatians 6, very short chapter. I think it's the shortest. Okay, I think chapter 1, chapter 6, short chapters. And then I'll give a summary. We'll go over everything we've seen, just summaries of those chapters of the Bible, highlights of those things. And then we close, round off this powerful teaching. I trust you've been blessed. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. We saw this last week. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And what does it say? Let's read together. Once you go, brethren, no one is overtaking the trespass. Those who are spiritual, restore in the spirit of what? Gentleness. So there's a required attitude. There's a required attitude for restoring men who are caught in a trespass. It is not some ha 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 moment. Praise God. It says to restore in the spirit of gentleness. Also, I said last week that it specifies the kind of people that you do the restoring. He says those who are spiritual. Hallelujah. That was spiritual, speaks of spiritual maturity. It is not a call for everybody. It's not something we all dabble into. They come and apologize to the church. And then we begin to ask for people's opinions. What do you think about this matter? What about you? Including first timer. Praise God. It is not something up for deliberation. Hallelujah. It is not up for public deliberation, where everybody is acting like a judge. In such settings, there's so much hypocrisy. People judge hypocritically. People who are not meant to talk will also be talking. A man who is also overtaken in the trespass but has not been caught will also talk. Praise God. So that's why it specifies the kind of people that are meant to set the matter or set the person right. And I said also that the restoration is not a one-time thing. It is not don't do it again. It is not if we hear that you do this again. No. It's not like that. The restoration is a process of training. Praise God. It's a process of what? Training. The reason why we know that the word spiritual there is about spiritually mature people is because it says to restore in the spirit of gentleness. Only spiritually mature people would walk in the fruit of the spirit called gentleness. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, gentleness is a reflection of love. How do you correct people that you love? How do you correct someone that you really love? You know, the law does not promote love. So people see themselves as competitions, rivals. But if you have to talk to somebody you really love, there's a way you do it. Praise God. How many of you have corrected somebody before and you felt bad for the way the person felt? After correcting the person is feeling sorrow and you're also feeling bad. Like, maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe, you know, that's what it means to love somebody. You share in the person's pain. Praise God. You know, they will say, if you correct with the right hand, you draw the person closer with the left hand. You know, that kind of thing is found in the grace of God. Where you are not just chastising the person, you are not just shouting down on the person, you correct the person in love. Praise God.
Because you are not seeking to just prove a point. It is for the good of that person. It is for the good of that person. So restore in a spirit of gentleness. And now says, considering yourself, lest you also be what? Tempted. The word restore, I mentioned, is the Greek word katatizo. It means to repair. By now, you should have that word at the back of your hand. We've said it over and over again. Katatizo. It means to repair. So it is men who are spiritually mature who are able to bring others to spiritual maturity. So the process of restoration is not just telling them to not do it again. It is to help them attain the maturity you have also attained. Hallelujah. The reason why a man will not be given to the works of the flesh is because he's spiritually mature. So we help the man. What am I saying? In essence, I'm saying if you catch any Christian brother or sister of yours in a trespass, you owe the person an obligation to help him grow spiritually. Hallelujah. It is not to start spreading gist. Amen. It is not to start spreading gist and talks about them. It is to engage them spiritually. Hallelujah. It is to engage them spiritually. I remember some time ago, there was a young man that reached out to me and was complaining about how he had been given to sexual sins and all that. So I said, well, we have to get busy. We have to start praying. So I told him and the other person that he was having the affair with, I told them to report and let us pray together. They were not even in the church. So they reached me from a far distance. And I said, let's have a time of prayer. And then you guys should never be alone anymore. Don't stay alone. You know, many guys will create temptations for themselves. You are fighting sexual sins, but you stay alone. So I gave them those instructions. Don't stay alone together. Make sure you pray in the open. Hallelujah. Pray together. Study God's word. And then involve a third party. And I was monitoring the whole thing. They didn't understand what I was doing for them. Amen. And then I made it clear to them that, see, this is exactly how you are going to overcome this thing. It is not by feeling sorry for yourself. And I'm saying this because most times people do not know the right attitude to maintain when they get themselves, you know, into error. The right attitude to maintain is, I am starting a journey of maturity. I'm starting a journey of growth. I want to mature in my work. Because listen guys, spiritual maturity will not just impart you with knowledge, it will impart you with the character of Christ. Spiritual maturity is not just you knowing things. In spiritual growth, you begin to live out the things you know. Hallelujah. Are you following? In spiritual maturity, you begin to do what? Live out the things that you know. So, those who are spiritual are to restore. Amen. Most likely, it is the work of the pastor and the leaders in the church, but not just those guys. I mean, if you find yourself in a place where you've maintained consistency in the things of the Spirit, and you're standing on your feet, and you are doing well in the faith, when you find a brother or a sister caught in a trespass, you owe that person spiritual training. Hallelujah. That is the answer and the response to that deficiency. Glory to God. It says, considering yourself, lest you be what? You know that when you walk contrary to the spirit of gentleness, you're already walking in the flesh. I hope you know. Do you agree? The moment you act in arrogance towards that person, you're already walking in the flesh. So, somebody does something wrong. Maybe you discover that someone has been stealing at work. And then it's been revealed to you now that the person has been stealing at work or has been stealing in the house. And then you say, ah, what is this? You are a disgrace. You are such a shame. Ah, and then you descend on the person. You know what you are doing? You are walking in the flesh. Praise God. That is what we call being strict. Amen. See, the person is strict. That's not being strict. That's walking in the flesh. Because Bible prescription is that you restore the person in the spirit of gentleness. Gentleness, there is the word meekness. It means humility. The Amplified says, without any sense of superiority. That is, don't act as though you can't fall victim to the sin. Look at Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus became a high priest. Such a high priest was fitting for us, who was tempted in all points. Yet without, the Bible says, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hallelujah. That is, he knows what it means to be tempted. Why? Because he was in the flesh. See, when Jesus came in the flesh, the very things that God did not know experientially, Jesus knew it. There are many things, I mean, God will know that it had to be tempted, but experientially, Jesus partook of temptations. He knew what it meant. So, the Bible says, you know, that kind of high priest is fitting for us. Glory to God. Because he was tempted in all points just as we are. He was tempted in all points. So he's able to bear with the feelings of men's infirmities. So you can't remove yourself from the picture when dealing with a fellow brother or sister. You must realize you can be subject to the same. Glory to God. So because you're already walking in the flesh, you are prone to temptations. Somebody does wrong, you descend on him, you shout him down, you do it in a spirit of arrogance. You're already walking in the flesh and you are open, you are more prone to temptation at that point in time. You don't right a wrong with another wrong. What the person has done is wrong. What you are doing too is also wrong. The only way is to do it in a spirit of what? Of gentleness. Hallelujah. In a spirit of what? Never be a party to, you know, mob actions. Never be a party to people who come together to lynch somebody or to condescend or, demean somebody or condemn somebody for his attitude. Never. Praise God. We are to expose the person. No. The things we are to expose in Bible are those who are busy using the gospel as a means for gain. Those are the people to expose. False teachers, false doctrine. Not a brother that is caught in a flaw. You don't expose the person. And you see, many times when people come to a grace-oriented church, especially adults, the older generation, they say, in that church, they don't have discipline. Glory to God. In that church, they don't have discipline. And what are they saying? Because every week, they don't find the pastor chastising somebody openly and calling out somebody for his attitudes. You know, when you go to a place where they say, this person, he did this, he did that, and everybody descends, they say, they have discipline in that church. That's not discipline. That's not restoring the brother. Nothing is amended or fixed by that kind of attitude. Nothing is amended or fixed by that kind of disposition. In fact, at the end of the day, you know what will happen to the person? The person will become ashamed. Praise God. People have gone away from church because of what I'm saying to you. I mean, stayed away from the assembly. Too much shame. As the brother is approaching the church, everybody is talking, and as he's coming, everybody is silent. He knows they are talking about him. Praise God. Because they've tabled his matter. That is a wrong approach to restoring people in the faith. There will be no restoration. The person will be further broken and further destroyed in his walk of faith. Glory to God. And I think I made a clarification between open rebellion and being caught in the trespass. A man that openly flaunts, a lifestyle of sin has already brought it to the open. So the reason why we are going to deal with it openly is because he brought it to the open. Praise God. He made it an open thing. Hallelujah. I have a testimony. God has promoted me at my workplace. And money has been flowing in more steady. As you can see, Pastor, I've been remitting more often. Because there are many deals in my office. And then as the person is hearing the testimony, you discover that they are cutting corners. And he's sharing testimony openly. Praise God. We don't say, God is good. We have to correct it in the front of everybody. So open rebellion, open display of wrong conduct are a different ballgame entirely. We have to correct that. And of course, also that in love. So we do that. You notice that what Paul did at 1 Corinthians 5, let's go there. See what Paul said at 1 Corinthians 5. Notice that when Paul did what he did, he now reminded the church to not forget to reaffirm their love to the brother. At least don't deal with him in such a way that he now becomes an enemy to you. The reason why we did that was because of his pride. 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. As a matter of fact, the whole church is held guilty in such a matter. That is, nobody is saying anything and the person is displaying such wrong character and attitude and example, and everybody is not saying anything about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported among you that there is sexual immorality, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. That a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Historically, this man was even coming to church with the father's wife. Everybody knew about it. And nobody was saying anything. Everybody was just minding his business. Praise God. So Paul says, this is not right. And Paul had to judge the matter. Now, at 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. At 2 Corinthians, what are they doing? At 2 Corinthians, praise God. 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read from verse 3. Paul says, and I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. So when Paul was even writing and making that judgment at 1 Corinthians 5, he says he was doing it out of what? Much anguish of heart. It wasn't a palatable thing for him to do. Not that Paul was looking for who to act. No, he was not comfortable with that judgment. Because, you know, he was meant to have joy from the church. We are meant to come together and rejoice together as one family and have fellowship, mutual fellowship and edification. But right now, he has to come and set things right and be rebuking somebody. And I mean, you know, that atmosphere is always different. Everybody is quiet. In fact, if you look at the way he said it in 1 Corinthians 5, you know that nobody will be smiling in that meeting. You are rather puffed up. It's in that chapter Paul says, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. That is, cast him out of the church. Deliver him to the world. Hallelujah. So, at verse 5, 2 Corinthians 2, he now says, but if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. What are you meant to do? To forgive and what? To forgive and what? Huh? And to comfort him. A man who has his father's wife. What are we comforting him for? Did you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we are still going to meet him and say, brother, take heart. Praise God. You need to move on now. Praise God. Sorry. You know, just move on. Don't do this again. But, you know, let's move on. We need to comfort him. That's exactly the spirit of restoring men. Hallelujah. And when you come into such an assembly, it will seem as though they are pampering people. We're not pampering them. That is the only way to restore people. If you do it in any other way, men are going to be shipwrecked. Hallelujah. Men are going to be shipwrecked. The woman was blessing us in the choir. She has a very good voice. Anytime she holds the mic, you know, everybody is feeling it. She's so graced. And then she's caught in a trespass, and we make it look as though there's nothing good about her anymore. Hallelujah. We make it look as though, you know, some people will say, hey, Olorun lo mo en to nse o, praise God. You know, people are so wicked. Once she collects the mic like this, you think she's an angel. Hypocrisy. Hallelujah. And they will destroy such a vessel of Christ. That's not what we are meant to do. We are meant to restore. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, restore. Hallelujah. It's about helping the brother. It's about helping the sister. It's about helping them gain root again. Hallelujah. If I hear that anybody runs from this church because they have done something wrong, I'll be very concerned. Amen. I'll be very concerned. A woman gets pregnant, then runs away from, I'll be very disturbed. I mean, what gave you that kind of mindset? Why are you running to? Praise God. Where exactly are you running to? This is where you should, in fact, this is the more reason why you should be coming to church now. Because this is the place you will find restoration. The moment we cast you out and we don't give you that kind of attitude that makes you feel at home and you know that, okay, you can grow. Now you can make more progress. We are going to get worse. Praise God.
Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2.
This is important. You must never forget it. We owe men restoration when we find out that they are caught in a trespass. Don't say, I cannot believe this. What can you not believe? Praise God. What can't you believe? Listen. Before I move on. Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh. Do you know Paul was writing that as something every believer is capable of doing? Are you aware? Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh. Envy. If you can envy, you can murder. Did you get what I'm saying? I cannot do it. That is arrogance, though. I cannot murder, but I can walk in envy. Envy is simple for me. Praise God. Envy is easy. Or lying. If you can lie, there's nothing you cannot do. Do you know, because many times we think that fornication, adultery, all those things. No, lying is actually the mother of many things. The sin that came into the world came through a lie. See what Jesus calls the devil. He is a liar and the father of it. So, that's why Yorubas will say that, you know, Endova Parajali. That is, if you can lie, you can cover your tracks. So, every other thing you are doing, if you murder somebody, you have a defense already. So, if you can lie, there's nothing you cannot do. So never be alarmed or too shocked. Praise God. I get it. When you see Perez has gone to impregnate one sister at gate, I get it that you'll be so shocked. Praise God. Because I mean emoji. But get over it on time. Praise God. Get over it. Just get over it. And begin to, you know, respond to that matter with the right attitude. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's not the prophecy. Galatians chapter 6. Someone says, Perezke. No, I will resign from Christ. Praise God. If the righteous ones are scarcely saved. Galatians chapter 6. You know, many times we put people on a pedestal. That man, no. If that man backslides, we are all dead. Praise God. You know, that back in I think 2015 or 16, when those visions of hell were trending, that was the major thing. I saw Kiniko in hell. He said, if this one can go to hell, we're all gone. Bimbo the choir. In hell, we are finished. Praise God. That woman that used to talk in tongues. That said, no, she was talking in tongues, but she was wearing miniskirt. It's true, miniskirt. That's a revelation. Praise God. Begin to wear long gown. Hallelujah. You and your long gown, you're going to hell. Praise God. By the way, they don't wear clothes in hell or in heaven. There's no clothes. So, visions of seeing somebody with miniskirt in hell is already dead on arrival. Praise God. But a lot of people don't see those things. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It now says, bear one another's burdens so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And Paul is saying the way to fulfill that law of Christ is by bearing one another's bodies. The immediate context is about forgiving another man and restoring another man, bearing with their fault, but it's not limited to it because that's not the only way to fulfill the law of Christ. In fact, Galatians chapter 6 is about different instructions. So you can't be trying to limit yourself to following one verse to determine the meaning of every verse there. It's like they are the closing words of Paul. Hallelujah. To the church. So, bearing one another's bodies and fulfill the law of Christ. See, there is no walking in love without bearing our bodies. Hallelujah. Without bearing our bodies. The word body there means weight. So sometimes it is so big. It demands sacrifice. It will tax you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bear each other's bodies. And this is how to walk in love. Hallelujah. Because we have not discerned the body very well, many times people do not feel free to share their bodies and challenges in the faith. We've not discerned the body of Christ. I mean, why should a believer be saying, I don't know how many times I've corrected people. Sir, sorry to disturb you. Sorry, let me bother you a little. Praise God. Some will keep to themselves and the things will have spoiled before you find out. Hallelujah. Keep to themselves. Emoji, how is work? I'm no longer working. What happened? I couldn't afford transport fare. Eh? And is that why you stopped working? Yeah, I missed work for 1 week, one time. I couldn't afford transport fare, so they sent me out of work. Really? Why didn't you reach out? I didn't want to bother anybody. I've heard that over and over again. You did not want to. Okay, now, won't you bother us? Praise God. No. Won't you bother us? You are hungry. You don't want to bother anybody. Now you are dying. Now you are dying. We must rush you to the hospital. We must quickly pass drips into your body. Lay hands that the drips will work. Praise God. Aren't you bothering us now? There's no such thing as bothering me or disturbing me. Say to your neighbor, there's no such thing as bothering me or disturbing me as a Christian. You're a brother. You're a sister. It says to bear one another. That is, your bodies are now mine. Hallelujah. Your challenges are now mine. Your boss will say, Magberu eleru zori yoko fati elo wo. Bukbera magbe zori. Praise God. Eru eleru ye. Ola wabai. We want to carry other people's loads. Glory to God. That's how to fulfill the law of Christ. You must bear other people's bodies. And this is not found in the law, because the law will promote selfishness. Being into yourself, as long as you are good, you are fine. It is the love of Christ that looks out for others. How they are feeling. You have not started walking in love if you are not looking out for others. How are you doing? When I ask you, how are you? It is not the normal cliche. Praise God. How are you? Fine. Hallelujah. Fine. Are you sure you are really fine? I'm fine, sir. Praise God. When you fine, sir? Okay, are you sure you are really fine, sir? I'm not really fine like that. Then you now begin to talk. It's because we have not discerned the body. We don't understand family. Praise God. How are you going home after this meeting? Do you have teeth? Yes, God is good. Praise God. I'm rich. Praise God. Then you catch the brother trekking up. Emoji, I thought you said you were going to. Do you have teeth? I just wanted to do evangelism and tongue stroke. Oh, manner of lies. Praise God. Which one is more convenient, to tell the truth and collect teeth, or to be lying? We have not understood the family. In fact, I discovered that many people do not believe in that concept of we are one family. They don't. We are one family. Oh? How about today? We shall have a quick any family. Praise God. Look at your brother. Emi Atene family. Imagine your tongue. Praise God. People don't believe we are family. And you see, this is the concept of the Christian faith. We are now brethren. Hallelujah. We are now brethren. Do you know that sometimes You meet the need of a brother in the faith. And you will not be comparing it with, okay, what about my siblings? There should be no such comparison. Praise God. There should be no such comparison. What about my siblings? Have I even done this for my sibling before? The lies have been blurred. Hallelujah. It is no longer I have a family, then it's one family now. We are brethren. What brethren means, we are from the same womb. There is nothing I can do for my biological brother that I cannot do for a brother in Christ. There is nothing. Hallelujah. There is nothing you should be able to do for your family members in the flesh that you shouldn't be able to do for those who are your brothers in the faith. That's the love of God. There should be nothing. See how Jesus redefined family. Your brothers and your mother and your sister, they are looking for you. Say, who are my brothers and my sisters and my mother? Those who listen to my word. Hallelujah. Those who listen to my word. Jesus did not look for his brothers to specially give them power or make them apostles. What mattered was faith. As long as they were in unbelief, they were out of the picture. Those who had faith in him and received the ministry were the ones that had the benefit. It is no longer about earthly affiliations or biological associations. All such ties will die and go with this world. The only family that will remain after this world is gone is the family of God. Hallelujah. It's an eternal link. Blood is thicker than water. The spirit is thicker than blood. Hallelujah. There are two different things. And we must understand this very well. It says to bear one another's bodies. To lift the weight and the load and to share in the pain of others. Glory to God. You notice that this applies well to, you know, the context from verse 1 down to verse 10. Verse 10. So when we read, he goes to verse 3, he says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. What do you think this is saying? It means if any man thinks himself to be too important to share in other people's bodies, to condescend to, you know, sharing in other people's body, he's nothing. Hallelujah. He's not, you feel too important. You don't want to be bothered. You don't want anybody to, everybody should mind his business. Am I working because of you? Praise God. What's my own? You don't have money to eat. So what's my own? Praise God. No, there are Christians who think that way. In fact, while growing up, there's this popular saying in the Yoruba language. They say, Shadura and Shami, Ijaosi in church. What does that mean? It means just come, say your prayer to God, and you have no business with any other person. Just come to church, say your prayers to God, and go. But the Bible disagrees with this, because the reason why we come together as a church is not to pray to God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting one another. If it's about praying to God, you can do that without coming to church. So there's a duty we owe ourselves. That's the reason for assembling. And if you read the book of Acts very well, you discover that they met the needs of men, both material needs and spiritual needs, in the gathering of the saints. Hallelujah. Sharing each other's bodies. Amen. Your parents are our parents. When I come and visit your mom, I regard your mom as my mom. Hallelujah. I regard your mom. The same level of respect that I accord my own parents, I accord your parents. Glory to God. Look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians. There's a family of God. There's a link. There's a tie. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians. Look at how Paul says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And from verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Hallelujah. But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now go to verse 25. Glory to God. It says that there should be no schism in the body. That the same care, but the members should have the same care for one. The members should do what? Have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, what happens? All the members suffer with it. Hallelujah. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. It's using the allegory or the analogy of the physical body, the human body. The same way when your toe is bruised, your whole body is involved. Hallelujah. How many of you have dashed the last toe? You've dashed it against something before. You know, it's tiny. That toe is so tiny. But if you dash it against something, praise God, your liver will be disturbed. Your kidney will be upset. Everything about you will not work together for good. Praise God. In fact, somebody said that thing there, it's capable of giving you new tongues. If you eat that thing or something, you just shout in new tongues. Praise God. Your whole body will suffer with it. Hallelujah. Your whole body. Suddenly you have a headache. Chest pain. Hallelujah. Your vocal cords cannot talk well. Everything is wrong with you. He is using that analogy to show us the importance of the body. As the body of Christ, we ought to care for one another. We ought to embrace one another to a point where your pain becomes my pain. Your burdens become my burdens. Your challenges are my challenges. Hallelujah. You have not lived until you have lived for others. That's Christianity. You have not lived until you have lived for others. Galatians chapter 6. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That is, a man who considers himself to be too important. Too important. You just go to church, you don't mingle with the saints, you don't want to hear about how they are doing, you are just into yourself. And you know, I don't blame many believers today. Many church settings do not promote this getting to know one another. People just come as though they are coming to receive lecture. And then you go home. No relationships, nothing. Hallelujah. Nothing. You don't even get to know anybody. Somebody said to me some years back, he said, if I drop dead in my church today, nobody will know. Is that bad? He said, nobody will know. He said, they won't even find out. It will take years. If anybody will notice at all, it will take years. Why is this person not coming to church? You discover, he already died 4 years ago. Praise God. It's too bad. We're not understanding family. We're running church like it's just a place where people come and applaud one man that is performing. No, it's family. That is where we get to know ourselves. If I don't even know your name, how will I know your challenges? That people don't know other people's names in church. And that's why we used to scream in this place, don't go home. You know, after the meeting, we say, don't go home. Don't go. We deliberately make sure people are involved. Reach out to somebody. Say hi to somebody. Some people, that's the only thing they'll say, hi. Hi to somebody means have a conversation. Say hi to your neighbor. Hi, neighbor. And you're going. You're not getting the point. Relate. Praise God. Because it's in that relationship we get to know ourselves and we get to bear one another's bodies. And there are no strings attached. Praise God. There are no strings attached. I've discovered that even in the church, people are afraid to receive favors or receive support. They don't want to hold you. Amen. And somebody said that to me before. He said, I don't like owing people. I said, well, this is church. This is different. You're not owing me. After giving you something or supporting you, I do not feel that I have a better or a bigger authority or right over you. It doesn't change how I relate with you. Praise God. It doesn't. I won't say, brother, come, please come and help us arrange this chair. And when I see you, because I've given you 20 naira, you come, you come here, Joe, come arrange chair. No, it doesn't change the relationship. Hallelujah. There are no strings attached. In fact, a lot of ladies are scared. You send money to the lady. Praise God. Sir, I got an alert. He said, yes, it's just for your upkeep. My upkeep. He drops from the phone and says, God help me. That's why I don't like getting close to pastors. Not if there any. It will alert. Praise God. Because in many places, once the man begins to send coin, you are in trouble. Praise God. He's already paying your bride price. It's not bride price, girlfriend price. Oh, baby. Concubine price. Praise God. There are no strings attached. Hallelujah. A woman should be able to support you. A lady, a sister in this place should be able to support you without you feeling like, hey, praise God. This woman, hey. Hallelujah. What's happening? Receive it like family. Hallelujah. If my brother were to be of help to me or be of support to me, I won't think evil. So the truth is, until the man has proven that there are other strings attached, believe the best. Because this is the family of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians, these are very practical instructions from Paul. We have to live by them. Verse 4, it says, but let each one examine his own work, that is, test your conduct, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in other, for each one shall bear his own load. In fact, KJV says, each one shall bear his own body. It looks like a contradiction. He's talking about the reward for this conduct of walking in love. Let each man test, that's the word dokimazo, let each one prove his work. Let him prove his conduct. Don't feel too big to condescend to others. Don't feel too big to share in other people's bodies. Test your walk, judge your conduct towards the saints. Hallelujah. So that you have rejoicing. So, because everyone will bear his own load. The word load there is what that also means, an invoice or something that means something given for service. So there's a reward for this walk in love. There's a reward for this conduct. He gets to verse 6, and he says, for him, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So there's an obligation towards those who teach us the word of God, those who minister God's word to us. Share in all good things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Share in all what? Good things. It's not about tithing. It's about just appreciating the man. It is not an obligatory or necessary or compulsory fixed payment. It's out of love. Amen. Let him that is taught share with him that it is in all good things. Amen. It could be money, it could be anything. In all good things. You build a house at Banana Island, just buy my land. Praise God. Buy my land by desire and start building. Praise God. You get a car, just get one for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Share in all good things. Hallelujah. It could be a fabric, anything. Don't buy me Bible. Glory to God. I can't be teaching you Bible and you are still buying me Bible. Stop that thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Share in every good thing. You know, Paul says, if we have sown spiritual things to you, we should be able to reap what? So why should I sow spiritual things? They are still sowing spiritual things to me. Doesn't work. I have enough Bibles. Glory to God. In fact, I have the engrafted word of God. Share all good things with him that teaches. Do not be deceived. I learned that the concept of do not be deceived is that they were already being deceived. Anytime you find this phrase, do not be deceived, it's a present passive imperative with a negative particle. It means to stop an act that is already in process. Hallelujah. It's a present passive imperative with a negative particle. It means to stop something that is already in progress. Do not be deceived means stop being deceived. Apparently, the Galatian churches were already under the deception of their walk towards each other or towards fellow saints did not matter. Didn't matter. Praise God. You know, like I said to you, that the Lord will not make you focus on others. He will not make you serve others. It is the love of God that promotes service. So, you have been called to liberty. By your liberty, serve others. It's only in the grace of God you discern Christian service. So, they were already oblivious of the fact that there was reward for serving one another. It really matters how we treat ourselves as believers. God is taking note of it and there will be rewards. Do not be deceived. I said to you, it's a statement or a phrase that means they were already being deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. See how this is used. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. Okay, wait though. When I said, when you build a house, you must build one for me. I hope you know, I'm talking about those listening online now. I hope you know this is a joke. Praise God. We're in that church. Ah, hey. Praise God. You have to build one for your pastor. How many houses are we going to have? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Well, if you bring it, we'll bless it. 15:33. Look at this now. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Why did he say this? Because they were already deceived. They had mingled with men that were saying there is no resurrection. Their association was not being discerned. They were mingling with anybody. You know, there are believers who feel that they can be in any gathering of believers, they can rule with any company of believers, any church, and they are fine. Evil company. It's not really about your character first. It's about doctrine. Evil company corrupts good manners. You will start saying something contrary to the word of God. And you won't know how it came. It's your complaint. So he says, do not be deceived because they were already deceived. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. I think I've shared this before. When I went to Ghana, I joined the church. And by the time I was done with that church and I left, I learned this lesson. I learned it experientially. By the time I came back to another gathering, it was difficult for me to flow in the things of the Spirit. It was difficult to just give a word of knowledge, to just get things right. Very difficult. Why? Because, I spent up to 2 years in a gathering where there was no room for it. It was then I understood, this thing is disastrous. Many folks do not know what has left them as a result of their associations. Jesus says, to him that has what he has will be what he even thinks he has will be taken away from him. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do not be deceived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Industry. We all are products of influences. Nobody can influence me. That's an influence in itself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Let no man deceive you. They were already deceived. Because from verse 1, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. They had written a letter to them in the name of Paul. They were impersonating the apostles. They had troubled the saints and they were already in agitation. James chapter 1 verse 16. Look at this also. James 1 and 16. Hallelujah. James 1:16. Glory to God. Bible says, do not be what? Deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and from the Father of lights, which with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. They were already deceived, because from verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, because they were already being deceived. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Again, now look at verse 8. So when he says, do not be deceived, whatever a man sows, he will reap. They were already oblivious of the fact that their conduct and attitude towards the saints mattered and had consequences and rewards. Paul wanted them to remember this. Don't be deceived. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh and will of the flesh reap corruption. The word corruption there means ruin, decay. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Now when he says he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, what was he saying? He was talking about doing good in the body of Christ. Doing good to fellow believers. Sharing is still in the context of everything he has been saying. Bearing one another's bodies. You are sowing. Hallelujah. When you do good to the body of Christ, when you do good to fellow believers, you are already sowing. Glory to God. You are already doing what? And you are going to reap. Amen. So that's why it says in verse 9, and do not let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. There's an especially. We are free to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Why didn't he say especially to your brothers in the flesh? The family of God. Hallelujah. The family of God. Especially. So the way to sow to your flesh is to withhold. Hallelujah. The way to sow to your flesh is to withhold, is to refrain from sharing in other people's bodies. It is to refrain from doing good to the household of faith. It is to refrain from sharing with him that teaches you all good things. That's how to sow to the flesh. Amen. Because whatever you withdraw from others, when you don't share with others, you are spending exclusively on yourself. The Bible says, you of the flesh reap corruption. There is no reward for treating yourself well. Did you hear that? There's no reward. You better love yourself too. Self-love. Self-love. Sometimes take yourself out. Take yourself. This generation. Take yourself out. Just go and treat yourself well. I think you are lonely. Praise God. There's no reward for treating yourself well. The reward of treating yourself well is that treatment. Glory to God. So if you sow to the flesh, you would of the flesh reap corruption. That is, there is no reward. It's all for decay and ruin. It's all lost. Hallelujah. The only place you are going to reap is when you sow to others, when you give to others, when you minister to others, when you share. Glory to God. Bible says, in due season we'll reap if we do not faint, if we do not lose heart. That's the Greek word that means if we do not relax. We are going to reap if we do not relax. Where is this reaping going to happen? At the judgment seat of Christ. There's a reward, guys. There's a reward for serving one another. There's a reward for walking in love towards one another. There's a reward for sharing with ourselves. There's a reward for giving to men who bless us in the faith. There's a reward. There's a reward. Not many times we can get so familiar with these things. But it requires a deliberate consideration. You know, I've sat down at different times and said, see, those who have blessed me, I must have an obligation towards them. It's something, see, you may forget. I've had to sit down. The saints, fellow believers, I must be of help and support. Glory to God. I think Sam has been my treasurer for some time. When money enters the account, he thinks we are rich. Amen. But it's going out very soon. Men are getting money. We are sending money. I've lived my life like this for a long time. It's already a habit. That when money comes into my hand, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about others. That is Christian conduct. Who can I support? Who is in need? A little data here. A little credit there. A little money for just support. Praise God. Support. And contrary to the idea that when you give, you will never lack. I submit to you, sometimes you will lack because you give. Giving is sacrificial. Amen. The reason why you may not be able to buy the latest phone in town may just be because of your giving habits. You've not been able to save that amount because you had to give. Praise God. The reason why you sacrifice renting a duplex and then you rent a flat instead may just be because of something you did. You help somebody out. You bail somebody out of a time of trouble. Giving is sacrificial. Praise God. It can't be all about enjoying this life. There's a way people read 1 Timothy 6:17 that is so offensive. Charge them that are rich in this world. Not to be haughty, not to be proud, but to not to trust in certain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. Glory to God. All things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. All things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. And then they just run away from the complete the verse. Praise God. Complete instruction. It is not just all things richly to enjoy as a person. Let them do good and to share. Let them endeavor to do good and to share. Laying up for themselves or storing up for a good foundation for the time to come. Laying hold on eternal life. Let them learn to give. So it is not just for you to enjoy. It is for others to enjoy with you. Hallelujah. It's not about you anymore. That self-centered, selfish way of living is gone. We're now about others. Glory to God. If you sow to the Spirit, you love the Spirit. When it says everlasting life, it's just a way of talking about reward. It's not that you reap eternal life itself because of your good works. No, you will reap in the life to come. Hallelujah. You reap in the life to come. Glory to God. And then it goes to verse 11. Still with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, this will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Verse 11 is quite inconclusive. Some have said that Paul was writing in large letters because he had a high condition, he had a high problem. So he was writing in large letters. The Amplified says, mark carefully these closing words of mine. That is, the Amplified is saying that the closing words of Paul were written in bigger letters. That's the Amplified. Some versions, look at the Darby's translation. It says, see how long a letter I have written to you. So it's not really about a big text. It's about the letter itself. And then the KJV, which I'm going to submit to, says, you see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. A letter is not the letters. And that word letter is the word grammar in the Greek, which means epistle, letter, scripture, book. So Paul most likely is not talking about the text. He's talking about the epistle itself. That is, I've addressed this matter with a long epistle. He didn't write from one chapter like Jude did, contending for the faith, just one chapter. He wrote 6 chapters. Of course, we know the chapters came later, but he wrote a long letter on this one matter. If you are conversant with Paul's writing, Ephesians, for instance, he wrote many things in the faith. He was writing on many things. So Ephesians is a book that where you learn many things concerning the Christian faith and blessedness in Christ. But then the book of Galatians is centered around making the defense for the gospel. It was to address the evil of legalism, and it took him this long, you know, to address the matter. Glory to God. So we can't assume that Paul had an eye problem. Some have said because Paul never recovered from that experience of seeing Jesus and then his eyes were blinded. But I mean, the man got healed. Praise God. Are we saying the healing did not work perfectly? I think I've believed that kind of thing before, but a closer look at it shows it's not just the letter. It's about the writing. Praise God. The old book, epistle. Now, verse 7, look at this. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, this would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So why were some refraining from preaching against persecution? Preaching against circumcision, so that they will not suffer persecution. Because in those days, to preach against circumcision was to be under scrutiny and serious fire. They will come for your head. So Paul is saying the only reason why they keep preaching circumcision is just to have a good showing in the flesh. To boast in the fact that they've converted you. That's simple. To boast in the fact that you are their disciples and followers. And to escape persecution. Glory to God. And why did he say this? Verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. I mean, why would a man who is not keeping the law be calling others to come and keep the law? There's no basis. So it is just merely trying to have a showing in the flesh to boast in the fact that you are their followers and their disciples and to escape persecution. Glory to God. Verse 14, Paul now says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. God forbid, hallelujah. God forbid that I boast in any other thing, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been what? Crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creature. What matters now is that we are children of God. What matters now is that we are new creatures in Christ. What matters now is that we've been accepted by God. Hallelujah. It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's not about being a Jew or being a Gentile. What matters now is that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what matters. It says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. What is that rule? That rule of knowing that nothing else counts and nothing else matters except faith in Christ. It's only in the faith that men have peace and have access to the mercy of God. Everyone who walks according to this rule of faith alone is what counts. Being a new creature is what counts. It's the man that walks in the mercy and the peace of God. Hallelujah. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. When Paul says, let no man do what? Let no man trouble me. What did he mean? That means when people confuse the saints and they preach against the gospel and they draw disciples after themselves, you are troubling those who preach sound doctrine. Hallelujah. What was the trouble they gave to Paul in this place? They had taken away those, they had confused those they had taught in the faith. They had confused them. It's a needless trouble. Men are meant to be making progress, but now we have to go back and relay the foundation for them. Let no man trouble me. Hallelujah. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks here are physical marks, persecutions, what he has faced for the sake of Christ. Glory to God. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The word be is the word that also means is. The word be is the word that also means is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit is not a prayer. It's an affirmation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. If you have a good Bible, the word be is in italics. It can be omitted. So it will just be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit. Amen. For instance, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ,
What does that mean? If any man is in Christ, glory to God. So grace is an affirmation. Grace of Christ being with us is an affirmation, not a prayer. So, but Paul says something in verse 16. As many as walk according to his rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So, it's in Christ men are regarded as the true Israel of God. The Jew is not a true Israel of God unless he embraces faith in Christ. He has been saying this in this epistle, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Only those who are of faith are children of Abraham. Galatians 3, 7. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Galatians 3, 9. He says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, and verse 29. Galatians 3, 29. He says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ, not if you are Abraham's, you belong to Christ. If you are Christ, then you are regarded as Abraham's seed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, 28 to 29. For it's not a Jew who is one outwardly, but it's a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the earth, not in the letter, in the spirit, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. See, so the true Israel of God is in Christ. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Realize that the name Israel was a change of name, was given to him because of the promise. So it's in Christ we have the true Israel of God. Romans in chapter 8, sorry, Romans 9 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Romans 9, 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Glory to God. The children of the promise. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So it's in Christ we have the true Israel of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So that's all. Study of the book of Galatians. So let's do a quick overview of the whole study. Chapter 1. We saw that Paul made a defense of his ministry, of his apostleship, and he did it with such strong, a very strong way. And I said to you that this is peculiar to this letter. He had to do it. Because without the credentials of an apostle, you couldn't have set things right like this in those days. Disciples were not the ones determining doctrine. It was the apostles. So that's why the Bible says in Acts 2 verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and in prayers. So he had to be an apostle to set the record straight. So Paul made a strong defense of his apostleship at chapter 1. He wasn't being proud or arrogant. Hallelujah. He had to do it that way for his defense to have any, for his defense to hold water. Praise God. Galatians 1. Let's go there again. Galatians in chapter 1. Hallelujah. Galatians 1. So Paul had to make a defense of the gospel at chapter 1. Strong apostolic defense. He made it clear that nobody taught him the gospel. And I said to you that was necessary. And he was saying the truth. It wasn't pride. And none of us can, say the same today. We can't say nobody taught me. No. Paul is the only person that could say this. Because indeed, he had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus single-handedly chose him as an apostle. The same way he chose Peter and the rest of them. Glory to God. Now at chapter 2, Paul continues to show the Galatians how that the message that he was preaching was not exclusive to him. Whatever defense he's going to make in this book is not his own doctrine. Because he had gone to Jerusalem to communicate it to others. And they had given him the right hand of what? Of fellowship. He also showed us how that the Jerusalem church, they were already false brethren who came from there to Antioch, who came to cause an uproar, who said they must keep the law. He says, we did not give them 1 hour, an audience for 1 hour, for an hour or a moment. So he refers to them as false brethren, showing them that the issue the Galatian church was battling was not peculiar to them. It's been around. Hallelujah. Paul in Galatians 2 makes it clear that God does not show personal favoritism to any man. And I said that is so key, because he was not just talking about anybody. He was talking about apostles. God is not, you know, showing respect to any of the apostles. It's about the message. Glory to God. So, he showed them how that he had the message, he had the apostleship from Christ, and the other apostles had given him the right hand of fellowship. He also had combated or battled or argued or fought or resisted the influence of these legalists in time past. Then he called out Peter and Barnabas, showed their example of not walking straightforward according to the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. And then he gets to chapter 3. That is when he begins to address the Galatians directly. And then he calls them foolish Galatians because they were not thoughtful in reflecting. The word foolish there is not, it's not a particular word you throw around. It was used for them because they had been taught. And Paul expected them to reflect on what they had been taught. Paul also shows us how that the manifestation of the Spirit is done, finds expression in the midst of the saints only through the hearing of faith. Glory to God. And then, you know, from this point onward, Paul makes a strong case for faith in Christ as the alternative to the law. That is, the only option or alternative to the law is faith. It's either a man embraces the law of Moses or embraces faith in Christ. Glory to God. They cannot coexist. It's either you follow the law or you follow faith. And then he cites the example of Abraham. I said he brought in a superior argument. Because Abraham is more respected than Moses. Abraham is a father figure more than Moses. In fact, they never refer to Moses as father. But they always refer to Abraham as our father Abraham. Do you get that? So, specifically, Abraham was the one that had the promise. So, he showed them out that Abraham did not have dealings with God based on the law. It's by faith in Christ. Abraham was justified by faith. So, if Abraham has been justified by faith, then what are we talking about? So, that's bringing in a superior argument for faith. Glory to God. And then, he also gets to chapter 4. And continues to show them how that the law was not even originally given to Gentiles. The law was given to the Jews. He started by showing us the purpose of the law in chapter 3. The law was meant to even lead people to Christ. And then he gets to chapter 4, begins to show us that the law was originally given to the Jews, not to Gentiles. Gentiles had idolatry. And in the same chapter, Paul now likens devotion to the law to devotion to what? Idolatry. He says they are turning back to weak and beggarly element. Hallelujah. And then in this same chapter 4, he mentions the issue of Abraham again, showing them how that Abraham could not, you know, achieve the purpose of God outside believing. It was by faith. And faith will mean you look away from yourself, your deadness, just like Abraham looked away from the deadness of his body. And Sarah's, the deadness of Sarah's womb, and they relied only on the ability of God. He also likened Hagar to bondage, and likened Sarah to freedom. So we are children of the free. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Now in Galatians 5, Paul, that's where Paul delves into showing us that every man that follows the law is a debtor to keep the old law. I mean, you're going to miss out on the experience of grace, and then those who have chosen to be justified by the law are falling from grace. Those who choose to be justified, not seeking to grow or make, you know, progress in the faith, but those who have chosen to be justified by the law are estranged from Christ. So falling from grace is not many things. It's about not receiving the gospel. Hallelujah. In the same chapter, he showed them that they were running well until they were hindered. And then they were hindered because they received a different persuasion. And I said to us that means the only persuasion that comes from God is the gospel. Any other persuasion aside the gospel is not God's own thought or God's own mind. And in this same chapter, Paul begins to show us the consequence of legalism. Men are going to bite and devour themselves
outside the knowledge of God's grace and God's love. Hallelujah. And then I showed us the fruit of the Spirit, how that the fruit of the Spirit is everything that Jesus has given us, everything that Jesus, you know, gave us in the gospel, God's own disposition towards us. So a man that does not focus on the gospel cannot walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that a devotion to the Lord will strengthen the works and the passions of the flesh. Glory to God. And you know, we did a lot of study on that. And then we got to chapter 6 today. Glory to God. We are going to have a second study on the book of Galatians. But then from next week, we'll move to another study. So we'll have a second study on the book of Galatians where we do a deeper corroboration through every book of the Bible, from every chapter, every verse in the book of Galatians. So that's a part 2. Glory to God. This one, we did that with some aspects, but more often, you know, we just stayed with the book, the narrative of the book as a whole. Lift your hands and give Him praise. He's worthy of 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 praise. Is worthy of praise. Bala bla na bala bla kla na kaba 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 la ora kaba 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 la ora kaba shaka kaka kolo brodo do fruko polo shubre kete mene yele chete shtafai kete fele tunia sa jele chule kaba la bala kla na kaba 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 kla na niya na bla 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 niya sa yele koma no fruko polo shubre kete mene yele ne niya si kukuri kaba la kaba yata jata la tala tala tata diya tala kla diya do 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 tunia. Make sure you are praying in the spirit right now. Bala kla Jesus. Yes, you live return manage to get a bella. Manda black o shapla katabala galala raka balashata. Oh hallelujah. Pala shata pan yatelam brukutum nishum legene men again and yen to nesu. Bruno do brukutum again and ori again and bring up and again and then yes.
Your lifted eye. Your lifted eye. Oh Lord. Your lifted eye, for you are holy, righteous and worthy. Oh Lord, your lifted eye, your lifted eye, your lifted eye.
Oh, Lord, you are here.
lift your head and bless His name. Righteous and worthy.
Listen now. I perceive so strongly that during the course of this study, particularly today, men were scared towards repentance. You felt a need to do better in your conduct towards the saints. You felt a need to do better in how you relate with the saints, in how you see the saints as family, to walk in love, to share in other people's bodies. You were instructed, you were called to repentance. Now don't suppress such thoughts. Don't suppress such thoughts. You need to meditate on them. And you need to start walking in that direction. There is no living for Jesus outside living for His people. There's no living for Jesus outside loving the brotherhood. Hallelujah. That's how to live for Him. That's how to live for Him. We lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at these following scriptures. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 13. There's no living for Jesus outside living for others, for His people. Romans 13. Glory to God. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You owe men the gift of love. You are a debtor to love. Hallelujah. Owe no man anything. Hold them in love walk. You have to love the brotherhood. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 down to 18. 1 John chapter 3, 16 down to 18. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we lay down our lives? Verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hebrews 13. There's no love walk outside living for others, sharing in their bodies. Hebrews 13. Jesus, hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hallelujah. God is what? Well pleased. I know we have to do this without showing partiality. Don't have a particular set of people you can be kind or good to in the body. To all. Let us do good to all, especially the houses of faith. Don't forget to do good and to share. It's not about a clique. Amen. Because I have my own clique. People I'm good to. People I look out for. No. Be open to be a blessing to all. Hallelujah. Be open to serve everyone that crosses your path in the love of God. Lift your hands and give Him praise one more time and thank Him. So, don't suppress this call to repentance. Meditate on it. Receive it wholeheartedly. 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 And lay down your life for the brethren. And allow the grace and the love of God compel you. Lay down your life for the brethren. Share in each other's bodies. When last did you check on somebody? When last did you ask about another person's well-being? Are you so interested about yourself? 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 Are you just so into yourself? Just about you? Everything revolves around you. There are only three people in your vocabulary. Only three people that you are concerned about. Me, myself, and I. Is that the case? Some even have a deeper problem of not just being concerned about themselves. They feel everybody must be about them. That's a deeper problem. Not only are you into yourself, others must also just be about you. The sun and the moon revolves around you. You are the great power of God. This is a call to repentance. There's no living for Jesus without living for his people. Without living for men for whom Christ died. The love of Christ compels us. We judge us. If one died, then he died for all. And those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. For him. For him who died and rose again for them. How do you live for Jesus whom you do not see? John says, whoever does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he say he loves God whom he has not seen? The way to love him that we do not see is to love his people that we can see. He that loves him that begets also loves he that is begotten of him. Love the saints. Love the brotherhood. Love the people of God. Love is proactive. There's no such thing as I'm an introvert. I don't really get into people. Shut your mouth. There's nothing like that. You have a new temperament in Christ. It's called the Spirit. And the fruit of that Spirit is not being an introvert. It's loving others. Being kind, good to all men. Interacting. Having quality time in fellowship. Relating with the saints. Jesus created no introverts. He created men in his own likeness. You don't find being an introvert in the life of Jesus. Jesus made you in his likeness. Drop all such worldly tags. And take on your identity in Christ. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. You are to be about others. You are not to be into yourself. You are to be in the company of men. Walking in love. Relating. Interacting. That's your identity. That's your identity. Woo, that's your identity. Loving others. In the course of this study, everything that has come to you as a reminder, as a call to repentance, you must not suppress it. You should write it down somewhere and keep it at the fore of your eyes and of your mind, and walk in accordance to that call to repentance. I need to do better in this area. I submit to the word of God. I submit to the truth of Christ. I submit to the reality of God's word. I submit to God's instructions. I submit to God's own will and purpose. I submit to God's own mind and desire. I submit to God's own interest. There's no living for Jesus without living for others. Christianity is about living for others. That's the same reason why we preach and do the work of ministry. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. Selfish men cannot do the work of ministry. Men who are so into themselves cannot do the work of ministry. They are always running from ministry. Because ministry entails that you serve others. Going out in the sun to preach is service. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. A believer that is so selfish will never fancy ministry. The more you talk about it, the more he wants to suppress the thought and run away from it. He has become so selfish and cold. There's no living for Jesus without living for others. You are not living for Jesus if you are not living for others. We preach His gospel. We live His life. We share. We do good to all men. That's living. That's living. Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord.
Completely yes.
Completely yes. Yes. My soul. Say yes.
Say yes.
Completely yes.
Completely yes.
Oh. Yes. My soul. Of always suppressing every call to repentance, every time the Lord reaches out to you to amend in your walk, if you are in the habit of suppressing it, you are developing a seared conscience already. You are developing a conscience that will be dead to God's instructions. You must learn to always respond. You must always learn to respond. Don't suppress it. Don't say no. It will get to a point in time. They will mean nothing to you anymore. They will mean you will have developed a very hard conscience. A conscience that is so hard and insensitive to the instructions and the warnings of the Lord. That's why you must learn to respond immediately. Glory to God. Pray while in the spirit. Pray concerning this week. Pray concerning this week. Pray for your family members. Men are kept in the power of God. We are kept from this virus ravaging the whole earth. Your family members, friends, those you know, men are kept protected from this plague in the name of Jesus. Galen Krele Mera Kenu Musubara Kapano Go Tony Gimala Santa Baradea. Men are kept in the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Tachalodoro Sapara Parakachalegeria. Families are kept in the name of Jesus. God's hand of protection is upon everyone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Nobody will be a victim of this virus. There will be no dead recorded in our tents, in our camps. In the name of Jesus. Get to Leteria, Tendure, Turigan, Onithius, and Lure, Tule, Turigan, Onithius, and Lure, Sute, Panonondos, Apollo, Toloto. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We are kept, we are kept, we are kept. We are kept, we are kept, we are kept. We are kept. We are kept by the power of God. The power of the Lord surrounds us. The power of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the protection of the Lord is around us. He's around us. He's around us. Oh, he's around us. We are kept, we are kept, we are kept. We are kept. We live in safety. We walk in safety. Are going out, are coming in safety. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we are kept, we are kept, we are kept. In the name of Jesus. We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. Oh, Lebana sauce is the Letutu Garandos, Tebrana, Vraga, Baga, Gosu, Barata, Kulia, Tana number for Suvi, Hibere Tunia Balata, Jejena Korodita, Tita Balakiti. We are kept
by the power of God.
Hey! Yes.
We are kept. We are preserved.
Safety runs
in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.